Father, thank you that there is no storm that we have to go through alone. Lord, in the good times and the bad, we can trust you. You are in control. You are not surprised. And God, I pray that as we go through the rest of today, as we go through our week this week, Lord, may we connect with you and may we grow closer to you. And may we recognize our need for you every moment of every day, because you are Lord of all. In your name I pray, amen. You can have a seat. So we are having a little bit different type of service today. 24 of us went to a youth conference in Kansas City, Missouri, and so we're going to share a little bit about our experience in Kansas City. And so for those of you who don't know what Challenge is, it's the Evangelical Free Church Youth Conference. It's a week-long conference, but we decided to drive because it was more economical. So 3 days there, 3 days home. So we went to a conference for 5 days and traveled for six. the students that drove thought it was an awesome trip. In fact, some of that it was the highlight, just being together and just getting to know one another. And so once we got to Kansas City, there's nine sessions that you sit in, plenary sessions, where a speaker speaks and there's a worship team. And we're going to show you some clips of that a little later on in service. And you'll see one of nine. We're not showing all nine. We're just showing a couple excerpts. So if you look at it, you're like, oh, we're going to be here for hours. We could have, but I chose to just get a couple clips. Also, you'll see in a slideshow that one of the experiences that they have is they have what is called the Apex Experience. And Apex is a youth and college age ministry that is a missions ministry where it helps youth groups from urban and suburban, or from suburban and rural areas, go to urban settings. And also, college students can go internationally. And so they were trying to give us a Middle Eastern experience. And so you'll see just some things in there, and that it was a Middle Eastern focus to kind of teach us a little bit of what it's like for refugees going to a refugee camp. So that's in the video. And then we also did some service projects in Kansas City. So Challenge teams up with the city and says, hey, what can we do to bless your city? And so we were doing some weeding for them and tearing out some brush on the side of a hill, to which one neighbor came and said, why are you doing this? I'm like, well, we asked, you know, what the city would like us to do. Oh, the city's making, like, why would the city, like, why are you doing this? Well, we're here for a conference, youth conference, and we want to bless the city. Well, wait, but why are you doing that? Like, he was annoyed that we were there. sorry. That's a little bit about Challenge. I mean, there's a lot I could go into, but I just want to give you a brief overview. 5 day conference, nine sessions. There's some missions emphasis. There's some play time. There's some service time. So I want to show the video to you, kind of give you a little bit of an overview of what's going on, and then we'll go from there. Greg?
Singing over me, you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind.
As always, I want to thank Greg. He put a lot of time and energy, took lots of pictures, and made it work. I just want to give you kind of a brief picture of one day. I went into this trip with a little bit of veteran cynicism. This was my 7th trip to Challenge. I've been here, I've done that, I've seen kind of the things that God does on these trips, and I went in, one, not liking the spiritual temperature of our group, and two, just like, I'm not sure what God's going to do. First 2 days at the conference, so we'd already traveled, so it's our 5th day on the trip, I talked to my wife, and I said, Tamina, God's got to do something, because I don't know what's going to happen. So Beth texts me that Tuesday night and says, hey, should we meet as leaders and pray? Thanks, Holy Spirit. Yes, we should. Taylor, I'm with you, dude. So that morning, the guys get up. It's a Wednesday morning. The guys are down in the lobby by 7:30. I think we were in bed probably by 2, 2:30 that night before. Down in the lobby by 7:30, and the girls weren't there. So we guys prayed. And we prayed something to the effect of, God, you have to do something because I don't know what. Like, we need you. So we go to the session, we eat breakfast, go to the session, and after the session, we go straight into a service project. So we eat a box lunch, get on a bus, we work all day in 90-degree heat, humidity, we're tearing out, like, just shrubs and just stuff on the side of a hill, which really, in all reality, it's like, okay, like, if you'd given me a weed eater, we could have done this in 10 minutes, but they didn't have them. So we tore it out. So all day long, from 1 till 4, we get back to our hotel about 4. We're all dead tired. We're all sweaty. Still have not debriefed the morning session. Shower, go to dinner, go to the night session, and it's the 4th of July. So the students wanted to go to the see fireworks, and I have not been always the greatest at getting them to fireworks on the 4th. So this year I was going to try. So we knew there were fireworks down at the river, so we're like, all right, we got on the tram, we split up the students, and I think some of them were a little irritated that we were treating them like kids, but we had no clue how many people were going to be down by the river. So we're like, you four are with this leader, don't leave them. And they're like, sorry, we're responsible, and I feel it, and I'm tired, and I'm cranky, and I really don't want to go watch fireworks, but I will for you. So we go, we watch fireworks, and it wasn't as crazy as what we thought. Well, a couple people had left some things in the challenge office because they didn't want it to get ruined in the humidity and the heat. They had bought some prints. And so the rest of the group is going back to the hotel. Micah, Wobowo, and I are going to the challenge office. Then we go to get on a tram. Well, everyone and their sister was on the tram. So we walked the mile and a half in the heat, dead tired, and getting text messages and phone calls. Hey, the students are hungry. Hey, the students are hungry. Hey, can we figure, it's the 4th of July. McDonald's is even closed, some of them. So we figure it out. We go to McDonald's. We get back. It's midnight. Okay, we have been going since 7:30. And I'm really tired. And kind of my intensity meter, I think, was up. I think. So We're handing out, like, we're getting the food ready for each room, and like, we're bringing it to each room, and Greg is laying on his bed. Greg is being Greg, laying on his bed, saying, hey, you need to talk to Aiden. Hey, you need to talk to Greg, I'm busy. Greg, Brian, you need to talk to Aiden. Greg sat on his bed, I think, most of the trip when we were in our room, saying, hey, we need to talk to this student. Hey, we need to talk to this student. And it's really annoying. So he's like, Brian, we need to talk to Aiden. I'm like, dude, we'll talk to Aiden. So we get all the food passed out, find out that McDonald's shorted us on some food, so students didn't get food. One of the students was the main one who wanted food, Christian, and his food wasn't there. So we're trying to figure it out. Chris is figuring it out, and Greg's like, hey, we need to talk to Aiden. I'm like, fine, go get Aiden. Let's go. So someone goes get Aiden. Aiden walks in. I look at him, and I say, Aiden, you got 2 minutes. Tell me your life story. What's going on? No joke. That's how I talked. And he looked at me, he's like, I don't know where to start. God did some amazing things. And I'm not going to tell his story. He's going to tell his story. But I sat there listening to his story, reminded that I don't lead this trip. I'm just on it. I'm not in control. God is. And when I surrender to him, he does some amazing things. And so I want you to kind of get a picture for what the students heard. So we're going to watch 4 excerpts from different speakers, and it's just going to give you a picture of what these students heard. And then we're going to hear a little bit from them. So please just enjoy this 14-minute segment, and then we'll bring students up.
So I had a friend years ago. She did one of those crazy unsafe deals where you go scuba diving, but rather than taking all the courses and certifications you're supposed to do, she just kind of got a crash course in an hour, and then they shoved her in the ocean. Not a great idea. But she was out in the Caribbean on vacation. They gave her a little crash course on how to use scuba gear, and then they pair you up with a buddy, right? And you each have your own scuba gear, but they pair you with a buddy, I think so that when you're under the ocean, you can point out things to each other, like, ooh, there's a fish. And if something goes wrong, there's a series of hand signals you tell the other, and then you both float safely to the top, right? So my friend, who's a young girl, got paired up with like a middle-aged man. And they go swimming in the ocean together. And somewhere in the middle of it, his oxygen tank quits working. Like the air quits flowing. And in that moment, there's a scarcity. And where there's scarcity, there comes desperation. And when there's desperation, there's exploitation. So he turns to her and just starts to shake her. And she's like, this is not something we learned upstairs, you know? She's like, what's he doing? And so she's like, I don't understand what's going on. And then he grabbed the respirator out of her mouth and put it into his own. And then he attempted to try to climb her to get to the surface, which, you know, if you're underwater, makes no sense. Basically, he's just drowning her. And so she's trying to understand what's going on, but suddenly this guy, because of his scarcity in him, is being frankly abusive to her. So finally she just has to start punching him back to try to get loose so she can breathe. And then in a moment of panic, he just grabs her and swims as fast as he can to the top, not adjusting for pressure. So they both get a squeeze, they get the bends, they get really sick because of that depth. And so needless to say, once they did survive the ordeal, they're no longer swim buddies. Or any kind of buddy for that matter. And you go, what went wrong? Man, when he had a source of air, he could be a source of life. You cut off that source, and what happens? Rather than being someone to help her, he tries to use her. Rather than be a blessing, he tries to absorb. Rather than make a difference, he tries to get from you something to save me. Rather than being a fountain, he becomes a drain. And it's the same with us. If you want to make a difference in the world, on your campus, if we want to be people at the end of our life that we said it was a good life, a bold life, the reality is we need to have a source to be a source. It's fascinating. Jesus sat down with the woman at the well. And do you remember he talked to her about her relationships? She had gone through multiple husbands and was now living with a guy. And rather than shame her about her broken sexual life, he looked at her and he said, if you knew who was talking to you, I'd give you living water and it'd be like a fountain in you, welling up into eternal life. What was he saying to her? You've misdiagnosed your need. You've been going from a boyfriend to a boyfriend to a boyfriend to a boyfriend looking for a vacancy to be filled in you and it's not working. You've been going from a man to a man to a man to a man to someone tell you you're worthy and you're still empty. If you would come to me, I would not only satisfy your thirst, you would become a well of life for others. And when she came to know Jesus and got that settled, that the maker of the stars knows her name, what happened? She became a difference maker in her village. But it has to start here. None of this calling you to be bold will make sense if you don't get this right first. We have to have a source if we're going to be a source. You are loved. I know you know it, but do you believe it?
I want you to be great, the greatest. And I want you to be first. I'll speak your language. But you will use my definition. Greatness means you will be least. And by number one, I want you to be slave. And by the way, slave to all. Have you seen my life these last 3 years? I am the Son of the Almighty God. I am the Word that spoke things to even being. I am the Big Bang that science talks about but cannot divine but recognizes. I am the source of the universe and all of life that started in one point at one time, and it was my words, so I can redefine greatness. And first, and even though that is who I am, did you ever see me demand it to be served? If I, your God, came to serve others, you will serve. Or you will stop using my name as a mockery. Do not call yourself a Christian if it is to be blessed and to gain power. Knock it off. Now go be great. Be number one. And his final act to show the full extent of that was kneeling and taking those that don't get him, those that don't understand him, those that will run from him, those of you that will come back just to curse me 3 times. And those of you that will help drive the nails into my flesh. I have come to kneel. To serve. And if you can't do this, well, then apparently you think you're greater than your God, aren't you? Do you understand what I've just done? I made myself 13. You will be blessed if you can do this. And if you can't humble and serve, then walk out with the rest of the crowd who loves raising their hands to Jesus and singing, bless our life, bless our life, come with power, bless my life, bless my life. And I promise you, this God will not show up. And in a matter of days, months, or years, you put your faith in him, you tried him, you may not say it out loud, but you will have a lifestyle that simply says, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. He didn't answer my prayers. He didn't save mom and dad's marriage. I still had to go to a funeral. He hasn't changed me. Bless our life. Bless our life. I am so sorry if you grew up in a church like I did and someone told you Jesus died on the cross because he loved you. And that if you say a prayer, he will come in and be part of your life. It is a lie from the pit of hell. I promise you, Jesus will never, ever be part of your life. He will take all of it, or he will take none of it. He is God. You are not. He will not be part of your show. He did not come to bless your hopes and dreams. He came to change your life. Not bless it. And he did it by kneeling. Philippians 2, he kneeled to God just to come to earth. Even though he was God, he did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped. But he laid it aside. He set down being God, coming to earth, taking on the nature of a man, one of his own creation, to walk among us, to kneel, to surrender in the boldest move of all of history, to the point of even giving himself. He goes, now you are allowed to be called by my name. You can be called a Christian. That is not a religion. That is not a church you go to. That is not a set of beliefs you adhere to. You are allowed to be called a Christian. He goes, but I define the word. You will serve. You will go home and serve your parents, and I don't care who they are. I washed Judas's feet. You will go home and serve your little brother and sister who annoy the heck out of you. And they're your Judas, and I washed his feet. And you will serve. And if you think Christianity is about making you great, not so with you. I redefine greatness.
You see, we have simple laws that govern our universe called the laws of logic. the most fundamental of which is the law of non-contradiction. What that means is that if something is proven to be true, its opposite can't also be true. Which means when Jesus says, "I am the way," he is basically calling out every other way. If you think you can get to heaven without Jesus, you're not Batman symbol, you're not five. It's not because you feel that way, you're wrong. Jesus comes out and he goes, if you think it's Buddhism, if you think it's Hinduism, if you think it's Mormonism, if you're not cute and feeling based, you are unequivocally wrong. What an offensive statement. What percentage of the world believes that Jesus Christ is the only way to Jesus? A minority. Which means the majority of the world needs to hear the truth. Not the feelings-based, one of many, pluralistic answer. They need to know the truth that Jesus came and died. But if Jesus doesn't die and come back from the dead, then what he said is a whole bunch of hodgepodge. It's garbage. It's just a whole bunch of crap. He's just this guy who thinks really highly of himself. He's probably a lunatic, right? Thinks himself a loaf of bread, like we should write him off in history. Or he's a liar because he knew he wasn't. But if he says he is the way, the truth, and the life, then we go, well, then prove it. And Jesus goes, look, I didn't stop there. I didn't go, let me make this bold and audacious claim, and then fades into the background like, hope you believe me. You see, a few verses later in verse 11, he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence. Look at the evidence, my friends. And he goes, I'm not asking you to surrender your life right now, but in a few days I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die, and I'm going to call it like in a horse. I'm going to call my shot, and 3 days later, breath is going to re-enter me. The power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to come back to life. And in that moment, you're going to know that the check that was paid on behalf of you, that the check that my mouth is writing right now with these big statements, it's going to clear the bank. And you're going to know, I've got the funds, I've got the powerful funds enough to actually adhere to the words I said. But until I come back from the dead, I don't expect this to make sense to you.
Man, I love you all. But continue to come into places like this and just get another emotional high to change that one more little sin pattern in your life and try to get over it. Man, I'm just telling you, that's not the way. And Jesus said, man, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And man, I'll take care of all of that. And so many times, man, we're so North American. We want a map and we want a plan. And we want to know it's going to work out. We want to know it's going to be stable and that we're going to have our stuff and keep it too. And there's just this beautiful thing about walking like Jesus and loving like Jesus and investing our lives relationally like Jesus and painting pictures with our lives about what it's like to worship and what it's like to really see people. To see him the way he sees them. He loves people, man. And we're so caught up in us and our plan. We're still trying to get over this sin, and we're trying to break into a new friend group, and we're trying to get over loneliness. I'm just telling you, there's something magnetic, there's something powerful about saying, I want to do what's on your heart, Father. And I'll give my life for that. And I've watched as young man after young woman has just said, I'm in. Like, Father, if it's on your heart, I'm in. And when you have that kind of heart, when you, every morning, you lace up your shoes and you say, I am the son, I am the daughter of the king, and you made me, and you've given me power, and you've given me freedom, and you've given me grace, and I don't deserve it, but God, I want to do what's on your heart. You love people, and it's my city, my world, my family's full of them, and I'm tired of walking around like a zombie trying to figure out if I'm going to get what I need. It's time to put down your map and to pick up his heart and say, when I pursue you, I get everything.
Students, come on up. So like I said, there was 9 sessions, and so there was a lot of, it was like drinking from a fire hose. And this is a couple of the students, this is most of them. Some of them are on vacation with families or whatever. And I've asked them 3 questions. You know, what was their favorite part of the trip? The last session, the speaker, Shane Stacy, asked, what did you bring to Kansas City that you want to leave there? What did you take from Kansas City that you want to bring home? And so those are the questions I asked. And so I'm having a couple of them just share kind of their favorite part of the trip. I'm trying to remember who it all was. Barrett was one of them. First, I know you hate
why
me.
Why have you done this to me?
Okay.
Why have you done this?
I at least warned you.
That's okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Okay. So my favorite part of the trip wasn't exactly challenge itself, but we went to this river in Idaho. It was Idaho. And one of my friends, he was not very excited about jumping off a bridge. it wasn't you.
Thank God.
Anyway, so Caleb, since he wasn't very excited to do that, he was just very afraid to do so. And I finally got to see him jump off the bridge and take that big step he was afraid to do. Yeah. So that was very enjoyable for me to watch.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because your sister pointed out the same thing, that it was really a picture of challenge where God has asked us, hey, let's step out in faith, trusting God. And so we were asking Caleb to step out. Hey, we will make sure you're safe. And he did it, and she thought that parallel was really good. Right? This is it? Yep. All right.
My favorite part of the trip was like the worship, to see all the people that were all worshiping God together, and you could just feel and see God's presence and him working in individual lives.
Okay. I mean, that was another thing that's talked about, just that, just getting to know one another, just at a deeper level, hearing people's stories. A lot of the girls stayed up way later than they should have, just sharing stories and crying together, and it was really good. All right, so what did you bring to challenge that you want to leave there? So.
Okay. So for me, it was kind of just this void that I had in myself. And so I kind of just brought it there, and I was just kind of going through the motions. And then I just remember, I think it was after one of the sermons when Aiden first told us, like, about his story, and I just kind of woke up. I was just like, whoa, like, what? Because I've, like, gone to church all my life. I grew up in the church, so I was always like, yeah, I believe in God, like, I go to church, I'm a Christian, like kind of what he said on the video. And I would give God part of my life. I wouldn't give him all my life. So I think just another thing that I took home is just giving God all my life. And I play soccer, for those of you who don't know. And I remember just telling Beth and Julie, I was like, I just want to quit. Like, I'm so done. Like, I told myself I want to quit. And Beth just told me, she was like, Morgan, like, this is a gift from God. Like, you don't know how much you impact people. And I remember, I think it was the last sermon, and we were all laughing with each other because the preacher just goes, whether it's on your soccer team, like, you're making a difference. And I just go, really, God? Like, did you have to do that to me? And I swear, each and every single, like, girl looked at me, and we're just like, yep, go to your soccer team, girl. Like, you need to do that. So I think that's just a really big thing that hit me.
For me, he kind of touched on it, Matt did, with that last session there. Just the visual of the map, and always want, you know, we all want to do the will of God, and we all want to do what he has planned for us, because that's when life goes smoothly. But I just found myself doing exactly what he was doing, just holding the map around and walking around and saying, okay, God, taking me from point A to point B, you know, my life will be perfect. And, you know, he was just saying, God cares more about the people and not your plans. You know, he doesn't want you to think that where you're going is more important than who you're talking to and what you're doing and just really what's on his heart. And so I realized for me that's something I like really struggle with, just with college coming around the corner and just with, you know, job and just what I really want to do with my life. And just seeing that was a really good visual to know that I need to put down that map and I need to put down that perspective and that mindset, that that's more important than the people and what I'm actually doing for his heart.
For me, I feel like before the trip, I had like a lot of chaos going on in my life, and right before the trip, I was just trying to find anywhere in my life that I could have just a little bit of control, And like Alex was saying, like, you have that plan, like, you have that map. So anywhere that I could find that control, I was just trying to have it. And there was a point of the trip, it was, I think, like, the third day, and they sing this song. And the song literally explained, like, everything that I'd been feeling the whole time. And so that kind of just opened my heart. And then they played that song, like, five more times on that whole trip. And so I kind of, it just, like, broke me. And I really got out of it that, like, I just need to leave behind, like, control. Like, I need to let God fully have my life and, like, fully drop your map and have that plan. So.
Now, what did you get at challenge that you wanted to bring home? Aiden, I'll start with you.
So I'm the kid that Brian talked about. in Brian's word, he said, he brought me into his room and said, you have 2 minutes, spill your guts. And as he said, I was like, I don't know what to start, Brian. So yeah, so this is kind of it. What I want to take away from this trip is just fully understanding Jesus's love for you. Because I came in, like, I kind of knew about Jesus. I'd been learning about him for about 2 years now. And like Caitlin said, during the same exact song, I was standing right next to her. She starts crying, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Caitlin, like, you're going to make me start crying. And I start crying, because it was just like, I just had this understanding, this realization that Jesus loves you. Like, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, like, he will be down there with you. He will go through it with you, and he loves you, and he's never going to stop loving you. And that, it was just that realization that, yeah, just that realization that I want to take home with me.
Yeah. Now, Judy Ann loves to talk in front of people, so go ahead, Judy Ann.
I want to take home is what I learned in challenge. My life changed, and I surrender my life to him, and, like, I feel him from there, because, like, so many things happening in my life that I, like, pain, struggle, and, like, when I came to challenge, I've been known him, like, I feel him in my heart, that I could, like, surrender my life to him. He will be there in the dark times and hard times in my life. So I could share to my sister that I surrender my life, that you should go to challenge to, like, experience it.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so what I took away from challenge is, okay, I'm, like, always, like, a really happy person, but this, like, speaker talked about the difference between between pleasure and joy, like, talking about how, like, you can instantly get pleasure and it's there for a while, but then kind of, like, when you're alone with your thoughts, like, obviously it's temporary, but, like, that you can find, like unending joy in Christ. And so for me, I really took that away to really rely on God for everything in my life and not, like, those instant pleasures you can get from being with your friends or, like, doing things that are just worldly, but, like, relying on God for everything.
Okay. You can go. What are you taking home?
So one thing I'm going to take home was one of the speakers, Chris Hilken.
Mm-hmm. He's not 10. He was 28 with 3 kids. He wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
Yeah. So he talked about, I think it was him, he was talking about how God is a creative God. And when you use your talents to create things, you're glorifying his name. And that kind of was just a really good reminder for myself, because I like to make things from time to time. I like to be creative, and it didn't always feel like I was doing the right thing most of the time, but just him talking about how God is a creative God, and how when you're using his talents, you are glorifying his name, was just a really good reminder for myself. Yeah. And why I do the things I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to me, just the parallel between what I see in a lot of adults, what they go through throughout their life, and just what the students had to deal with, you know, and just learning to let go and let God. Christian Heatherly just had his tonsils taken out, and he had written, I'd asked, you know, what what do you want to leave at Challenge? And he wrote me back. He said, I brought a lot of resentment for the youth group and church because of my dad's alcoholism. How God let it happen in my mind. And he made the decision to leave that resentment there. And for him, he wanted to just bring back, to let God do his work and not focus on what everyone else is doing, but focus on me, on my own stuff. And I shouldn't have had to go to Challenge to learn that because my dad tells me that all the time.
For us as leaders, we've gotten a lot of, oh my gosh, did you guys survive? And, you know, our initial response is, barely. But I think for us in this trip, it was really eye-opening. We did go in with a little bit of
cynicism
of, I don't know what this trip is going to be like. It's going to go either really good or really bad. So we were just really praying and trusting God to take over. And seeing God work through every single one of these kids really, really moved me and spoke to me. And it's just, you know, you can look back in your own life and see where God has worked past. But to see him work now in the present and see him working through these kids was amazing and something that I will take with me forever, and just has really grown me and just challenged me to, I mean, I am leading these kids. I have to be accountable for my own spiritual walk. And what am I doing to help further that?
I agree. No, but really, like, I am so blessed to be able to be with these kids all the time. Like, my husband and I talk about it. He does junior high, so he doesn't get to go on the fun, adventurous things like we do cross country. He gets to take off work and stay home with our three children while I go. But he really, like, doing youth has changed our lives incredibly. And like Julie was saying, just walking by each one of them. And can I just say, like, what a problem it is to have as leaders that we literally were up till like 3 a.m. every night because these students want to talk to us. Like, God is so good that they somehow see in us someone who's trustworthy to share their lives and spill what's going on in their lives. But through them opening up and really sharing what's going on in their lives, like, God just speaks to us so much. And it, like Julie said, to see just their lives be changed in front of us was a very awe, like just a moment of awe watching God work and how big God is. And it was just an amazing experience and just an encouragement to, I think it was Chris Brown who talked about serving, and I would completely agree. Like, God has changed my husband and I's lives serving with these kids, like, and I feel like even at VBS this last week, as I was serving with the kids there, like, God speaks to you so much when you are working for him, like, and it doesn't have to be anything. I mean, even serving, like, raking up the hill, like, I don't know why, like, the Holy Spirit is with you, and, like, he just speaks to you so much, and I have been challenged by these kids. A lot of them, I'm like, wait, You're like that? Why don't I have that? I'm supposed to lead you. Like, oh, crumb. Like, I better get my acting gear. So they're just amazing, and I'm really blessed.
Oh, 16 years and the same thing, the same response.
I'll talk for Greg for a second. Because he won't. But Greg is like our dad on the trip. Like, he is worried and attentive of everybody, and it was amazing to, like, he, like, physically is moved and aching for these kids when they're aching. Like, he loves these kids like they are his kids, and he does such a fantastic job with them, and he won't say it, but
God worked in him too.
He would say it, but I would have to give him the mic first because he doesn't like to repeat stuff. Hey, Aiden and Jen, come on over here. So part of the journey was Aiden's been coming for about 2 years. So let me just paint the picture. Gretchen and Jason Miles grew up in southern Idaho. Gretchen grew up in a Christian home. Jason was Mormon. Gretchen's dad invested in Jason, led Jason to the Lord. Jason and Gretchen get married. Miss Alex over here, raised in a Christian home, just trying to grow in her faith, has a youth leader in Beth who's sitting in small group who says, hey, who could we invite? Who needs to be here? So Alex is like, Aiden does. So she invites Aiden. Aiden comes for I can't remember if it was your first week where I talked about sex.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, first week.
For sure, for sure.
So he stayed around. So on this, like, Aiden and I met probably a month and a half ago, like beginning of summer-ish, and we were just talking. It was like I could see his knowledge and I could see like his understanding, but it was just like it was there but not. And so when I sat him down and asked him to share his story in 2 minutes or less, he had something great. And that was on July 4th, 2018, he met the Lord. And I can tell you, like, I grew up in the church. I don't know when I met the Lord. I met the Lord at some point before the age of 8. But he can look back and say, on July 4th, 2018, I met the Lord. And so he came to me and he said, Brian, hey, I want to get baptized with Jen. Jen and I have been talking about getting baptized. Jen's been talking to me about getting baptized. And so Aiden's like, hey, I would love to do that. So I get the privilege of baptizing Aiden. So Aiden, come on in. So this is weird. So stand over here, buddy.
Stand over here.
Yep, stand over here and sit down there. All right. So, have you put your faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
Okay. Is it your desire to live for him?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put that on your nose. Put that right there. You ready? It is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come here, Alex. You're going to hate me and love me all at the same time. Come here. Why don't you pray for him?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to lift up Aiden right now. He has been such an amazing friend to me, and just seeing his walk and just especially at Challenge, how it all came into fruition just at that one point. And just, I just pray that you would continue leading him and showing him the way and just helping his faith to just continue to grow and grow, and just help him to just continue to live out a life for you, and seeing how much, continue to see how much you love him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Aiden, you can step back and drip everywhere. It's okay.
I want to cry. So.
So Jen and I started this journey a long time ago. And at Challenge in 2016, there was a moment where her and I were having a conversation. She had no clue why she was there. And she would, like, later at the end of the week, all the students were down on the main floor, and it was before the service started, and the DJ was up there, and you would think, like, having a DJ beforehand, like, that is, like, just meaningless waste of time. God doesn't waste anything. And she's down there, and she's dancing with these girls. And she was being a teenager. And it was at that moment I just looked at her and said, did you think you'd ever be here? And she said, no. So that was at Challenge 2016. 2 weeks later, we're at Creation. And we're walking around. And I'm asking her, I said, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And she's like, I don't know. The only time I feel like God speaks to me is in music. And I said, why would that surprise you? Like, why would it surprise you that God would meet you in the way that you are most tender towards Him? And it's been a journey. Right? What did you want to take home?
I kind of went into challenge just like believing but not fully wanting to believe. And then whoever said it, the guy in the video, he talked about like how God wants all of nothing. So I kind of took that away. Like, it's either I do this or I don't. Like, it's not a halfway. Like, I go to church and I hang out with friends and then I hang out with other friends and I'm totally different. Like, it's not, I can't act like that. And then, like, I just kind of took away, like, just the love that God has, because I haven't had the best example of love to me in my life, so just having that kind of replace it, like, replace what I missed. I don't really know how to explain it, but, like, one of the songs they sang was, Oh, How He Loves Us, and I just had that stuck in my head throughout the whole day, and as soon as I heard the first chord, I just started, like, bawling my eyes out, and I think Greg saw me crying, but...
Craig sees everyone crying. Hey, Brian, you need to go talk to Jen.
But I just took away how much this actually means to me, and it's been a very hard struggle for me to get to this point.
Yeah, this isn't something that she just came to and said, hey, I believe in Jesus. This was a 2-year, tooth and nail fight thing. And she came to me and said, I want to get baptized. And I said, are you sure? And she said, yeah. So I am super excited about this, Jen. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ?
Yes.
Is it your desire to live for Him?
Yes.
All right. Jen, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have Beth pray. Beth has been really a godsend. Beth couldn't stand me as her youth pastor. She came to work with students, and she's like, what am I doing? And she's been a lifeline for Jen for the last couple years. And so I'm going to ask Beth just to pray for her.
Oh, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful girl. Lord, my life has just been so blessed by her. Lord, you've given her a story unlike anyone else's. Lord, thank you that you just met her the last 2 years, Lord, that she has been able to dig through and unwrap every aspect of her life and you and see you there, Lord, and just the importance for you in her life, Lord, that you are her Savior, you're her Father, you're her Redeemer, Lord. And she's just made new in you, Lord. Yep. Thank you for meeting her, Lord. I just pray that this fire wouldn't burn out, Lord, that the lies that Satan tells her, Lord, won't rule over her life, Lord, that she knows that those are lies, Lord God. And I just pray that you would use her in the most precious of ways, Lord. I just thank you again for our relationship, Lord. I love her so much. In your name, amen.
Amen. All right. You guys can hug him and go sit down. So I went into this trip with a cynicism. I want to let them do their thing. And I walked away seeing God work in ways I haven't seen in 20 years of ministry. I started teaching a Bible study at age 18, working with college students. And from that point till today, I can honestly say I've never seen God show up in a crazy way like he did. We had several students give their life to Christ. We had students that were confessing sin that they hadn't talked to anyone about. When I tell you we didn't go to bed till 3 in the morning almost every night, I'm not lying. Like, it's not an exaggeration. And it was student after student after student. And it was one of the students came into to our room and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I got saved. Just tell us. How exciting. So we called up his dad, and his dad was like, whoa, that's awesome. You weren't saved before? You know, and it's just stuff like that. We were like, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing awesome things. And the bottom line is, are we surrendering to him? Recognizing it's not about our plan, it's not about what we bring to the table, it's about what he's doing. And am I willing to just submit and go under his authority? I love that clip of Chris Brown saying he wants all or he won't, it's either all or none. Oh, I was so convicted by that. My question to you is, what are you hearing today? What do you need to take home? What did you bring here today that you need to leave here? What are you getting from today that you need to bring home? Now, if you're like, man, I wish I could see some of those, the rest of those videos. If you click on the sermon link for today's sermon, all the videos will be there in their entirety. But what did you bring today that you need to leave here? What did you hear from today? What did you get encouraged with? What do you need to take home? Father, thank you for just reminding me that you are still king. That you still change lives. Lord, that you can use a road trip, you can use a conference. God, you can use everyday life to change people's hearts and their minds towards you. God, I am so thankful that I'm here. How exciting is it to watch students give their life to you and just being a part of that? God, I just pray that we as a church would be excited and also encouraged and challenged. Lord, that we would make a difference on South Hill, that we would make a difference in our neighborhood, that we would share you with everyone we come in contact, recognizing you're in control. And it's up to you to do a work. We just need to be faithful. God, help us as we seek to be an oasis for renewal between God, between you and our neighbors and our friends and one another. God, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.